Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will begin. We will continue this morning's worship service singing from Psalter 376, stanzas 1 and 6. Praise Jehovah for his love, God of gods enthroned above. Praise the mighty King of kings, who alone doth wondrous things. For his mercy doth endure, ever faithful, ever sure. 376, stanzas 1 and 6. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the first book of Kings, chapter 18, beginning at verse 17, and we'll read through up until verse 40. 1 Kings 18, verse 17 through 40. But first, we would like to read the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who, for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We mention to you 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning at verse 17. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar, in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence among us on this first day of this new year. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, ever faithful, Lord God of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, covenant-keeping, faithful Jehovah, thou who art that holy, majestic being high in the heavens, thou who hast made all things, upholds all things, and Lord, we've also read a small portion from thy word, which displays thy glory. And may this day in our hearts be that echo, "The Lord, he is God." But Lord, we confess by nature, this is not a confession in our hearts. We want to be God. We live following our own flesh, following our desires. O Lord, wilt thou have mercy upon us? It's in thy mercy, in thy goodness, and long-suffering patience that we may be gathered together on the first day of this new year, in this morning, in thy house, to hear thy word. And may it have been in our hearts a longing to be here, to be in God's house, to begin this year, to worship thee, to listen to thy voice, to receive undeserved blessings from the Almighty God of heaven and of earth. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would look upon us then in mercy, and that thou would shower those blessings from above, which no man can give us, but thou alone. Oh, look upon us in mercy, Lord, through thy Son, because thou seest our very hearts, who we are by nature, and our hearts are desperately wicked, sinful, and polluted, corrupt. And they're the fountain of all sin and evil and wickedness. And thou hast made us in thy image good and perfect. And thou art looking for thy image back. Thou hast the right, because thou hast created us perfect. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that this morning, that thou would gather with us, and that thou would give blessings. Oh, may thy word be accompanied with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that sinners may be convicted of their sin. Oh, wilt thou then shoot out those arrows, that sinners may be mortally wounded in their souls, and that they may cry out unto thee on this first day of this new year, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that sinners may cry out unto thee, what must I do to be saved? And that they may hear of that only way, through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, may we beg thee as we begin this year, that thou would richly, powerfully, irresistibly bless thy precious word, law, and gospel, and that thy word may be proclaimed in this year for the glory of thy name, for the salvation of sinners, and for the edification of thy dear people, that law and gospel may be proclaimed, death in Adam and life in Christ, and how a lost sinner is brought unto that rich Savior. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then bless all the preaching, all the sermons which will be read, the Bible studies. Bless all the different efforts to share thy word. But also, Lord, bless thy precious word in our homes, in our families. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would do above all that we can think and ask. We deserve nothing. We deserve only darkness and wrath, and that thou would cast us away. But Lord, in thy wrath, remember mercy. Look upon us through thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased. O, we beg thee, thou who art the King of the Church, work mightily, irresistibly, as that prophet, priest, and king. Teach and lead and guide and conquer hearts. And may thy dear people also be led further into the mystery of faith, that they may grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may become more sanctified, that there may be more zeal for thy name, for thy honor, for thy glory, more hatred for sin, more living according to thy image. Conform them, Lord. It's thy work. It's thy Spirit. We need thee for regeneration, but we also need thee in everything for sanctification, to keep us, to lead us, to guide us. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that in this year thy kingdom may come, that more may be gathered in to that one fold under that one shepherd, that faithful shepherd, that compassionate shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. But also here in this congregation, that children may be born again, that teenagers may be conquered by thy grace and given new hearts, but older ones, adults, parents, single ones, but also those who are in older, who have heard thy word for many years. Lord, thou art the Almighty God. No heart is too hard. No heart is too cold that thou would renew. By nature, we're only enemies, but our hope and our expectation is in thee, that Almighty covenant-keeping, faithful Jehovah, who says, I will give a new heart, and they will receive a new heart. Lord, we pray then, help in all that we are called to do, in all the responsibilities in this congregation, in the preaching, in reading thy words, but also in visiting the families, but also all the different ways in the groups and societies. We pray, bless it all, Lord. It all waits upon thy blessing. And we pray and ask thee, Lord, also, that thou would help us in all that we are called to do, to live faithfully, to live holy, that we may be a light in this world for the honor and for the glory of thy name. Oh, may each one of us remember as we come to church Sunday after Sunday that the world is watching us, and that above us is not the name of the church, but it's thy name, the name of the Almighty God, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may we live with that knowledge, and also that we have thy name on our forehead, and that we would live and not bring, that thy name would be mocked, that thy name would be blasphemed. Lord, care for us. We need thy grace. We need thy Holy Spirit. Without thee, we can do nothing. We beg and ask thee, Lord, that through the preaching of thy precious word and the gospel, that sinners would be born again, but also that there may be food and drink for the hungry ones, for the thirsty ones, that there may be crumbs from the Master's table, that thy dear people may receive not only correction, reproof, but also comfort for their never-dying soul, that thou would strengthen them in that faith, that gift of faith, that holy faith. And so, Lord, we beg thee, have mercy upon us, and gather with us then in this morning. Give us a good hour in thy house. Help to proclaim thy word. Give thy servant the unction of the Holy Spirit. Give him the words, the thoughts, but especially, Lord, that when thy word may go forth, that it may come with power, that thou would open spiritually deaf ears to hear, that thou would enlighten dark and sinful minds to understand, and that thou would bring it into hearts, that wills may be renewed and broken, and that we may become guilty and lost sinners at thy feet. Draw us, Lord, then we will run after thee. Unite our hearts to fear thy name. Thou art so worthy that all of us would truly with our whole heart desire to serve thee, that each one of us in our hearts we may have what the Israelites confessed, the Lord, he is God, and that we may have a heart that desires, that longs to follow thee, to serve thee. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that in this morning, that all those who have not received a new heart, who are halting between two opinions, who are longing to serve the world yet and give a little peace to the Lord who come to church, oh, we beg thee, Lord, show them their sin and that they may be convicted, and that convicted sinners may be led unto thee, that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save sinners, chief of sinners, vile sinners. Lord, we deserve nothing because of all our sin, because of all our transgressions and iniquity. But may we beg thee upon the merits of thy dear Son. Thou art that faithful God, and thou can take reasons out of thyself. As thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for your name's sake, but for my name's sake. Lord, we ask thee then, for thy name's sake, visit us and bless thy word. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 247, all six stanzas. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Psalter 246, all six stanzas. In the meantime, your offerings will be received. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation, I would like to wish you all the Lord's indispensable blessing in this new year 2025. And may the Lord work powerfully, irresistibly in our midst by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners may be born again, and that God's dear people may grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord richly bless the preaching of the gospel. And I thought to address different groups this morning, but I have to be honest, I don't know you all, and I'm afraid I will miss some. So, all of you, I wish you the Lord's indispensable blessing. Children, are you happy if you have a mother that just loves you a little? Some days you feel her love, and other days you don't feel her love. Wives, are you happy if you see that your husband isn't devoted with his whole heart to you, his only dear beloved wife? Husbands, are you happy if you see in the lives of your wives another man that's important? Congregation, the truth is, we all desire to be loved. We all want someone to love us with a committed, faithful heart. But now I have a question. How does God, the creator of the heavens and of the earth, feel when people whom he has created for one purpose, to love him, to serve him with their whole heart, do not love him? They come to church, but they don't really love him. Or when he sees a people living with a little peace for God, but the rest of their hearts for the world. How does God feel when sinners are double-minded of two opinions? We read about this in James 1 verse 8. A double-minded mind is unstable in all his ways. And he also wrote in chapter 4 verse 8. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What is it to be double-minded? It's someone who tries to pursue two things at the same time, but is not wholeheartedly committed to either. He lacks integrity. He lacks commitment. Double-minded is to pursue two opposite things at the same time. James is speaking about someone who tries to serve God and tries to serve the world at the same time. Someone who is not devoted with their whole heart for God and for Jesus Christ. Who are the double-minded? Congregation, it's not the heathens. With the heathens, I mean those who have never heard the word of God. A double-minded person is someone who has heard the word of God, who knows there is a God, who knows the law, who's heard the gospel, who has knowledge of many, many truths. They know in their head, you need to be born again. They know you need God's grace. But they are not living the truth. They are not wholehearted committed to following, loving, obeying, and serving the only one true God and the only Savior, Jesus Christ. They are not giving their whole heart and life to God. They are serving God and their own lusts, coming to church, but double-minded. Is that you, my friend, on New Year's Day, on the first day of this new year? Is that your heart? In congregation this morning, with all the love of my heart, I need to preach you a message. And I pray it's convicting, that you may be convicted of your sin. You who are faithful, it's good. Keep coming. Be very faithful. But I want you to understand, God is looking in our hearts. And he doesn't want a double-minded heart. He wants our whole heart, and he has the right to our hearts. God's servant Elijah had a message for the Israelites. And this is a message that is timeless. It's also for us this morning. And so with the help of the Lord, we will consider the history which was read to you from 1 Kings 18. And our text specifically this morning is from 1 Kings 18 verse 21, where we read from the word of God. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. My friend, who are you serving? Who are you serving? Who are you giving your heart to? Who will you serve in this year, in 2025? And may the Lord work powerfully, convicting sinners of their sins, but also for God's dear people, that through this history, that in their hearts may be that renewed commitment and that echo with their whole being. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And their hearts may be drawn with those cords of love, bound to serve him, to fight against sin and evil. So the theme this morning, a heart-searching question. Who will you follow in 2025? Because in the text it says, really, who will you follow? So a heart-searching question. Who will you follow in 2025? Three thoughts. First, two opinions. In this text we read of Jehovah or Baal. What's Baal? Do we serve Baal? Maybe say, I don't have an image. Careful. Maybe you are serving Baal. So two opinions. Jehovah or Baal. Who is God? The evidence. Our second thought is the evidence. Children, they had a test to see who is God. And I hope we all see it through the word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that Jehovah, he is God. And this world is nothing. It's all sin and leads to death. And then a confession. A confession. The Lord, he is God. A heart-searching question. Who will you follow in 2025? Two opinions, the evidence, and a confession. My friend, who are you following? Who will you follow? Two options. Either you're following Jehovah or you are following Baal. So, dear friends, when we come into this history this morning in 1 Kings 18, there has been a drought for 3 years. No rain. It's been a drought. And finally, the Lord sends his servant Elijah to go to Ahab. Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So Elijah obeys, and he goes to Ahab. And when Ahab saw Elijah, what did Ahab say? And is this you? He blames Elijah for the consequences of sin. We read in verse 70, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? The wicked king doesn't see his sin, but he points to others. That's man in his natural state. Doesn't want to think of his own sin, and he only wants to point to others. And Elijah responds, as we read in verse 18. He says, it's not my fault, but he says, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Then Elijah proposes to Ahab that there is a contest, a test between Jehovah and Baal. And he asks Ahab to gather all the prophets and all the Israelites to come to Mount Carmel. And there they can see who is God. Who is God? Jehovah or Baal? And so the Israelites And the prophets, they come to Mount Carmel. So we can see, children, in our imagination, Mount Carmel and a large group of people. There's a lot of curiosity, I'm sure of it. A lot of people came, they gathered to see what would happen. How will they test who is God? There's two opinions, either Jehovah is God or Baal is God. And so we see actually three groups of people in this great group. What are they? Who are they? One side is Ahab with the 400 prophets. And there's Elijah, the servant of God. And then there's another large group of people, the Israelites. And listen, Elijah speaks. No, God is speaking especially to that large group of Israelites. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. May I ask you now, which group are you in? Which group are you in? There's two options. Who do you serve, Jehovah or Baal? Who is Jehovah? Well, who can explain? What sinful man can explain who is Jehovah? But a few words. He's the almighty covenant keeper, faithful Jehovah. He who will seek and save sinners upon the merits of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the self-sufficient one, the highest majesty in heaven. He's the immutable one, the righteous one, the merciful one, the gracious one, the omniscient one, the omnipresent one. He's God in all his attributes, in glory and in fullness. And we read in Exodus 3 verse 14, And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. We read in Isaiah 44, verse 6, Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Israelites, congregation of Cortland. One more verse. Isaiah 46, verse 5. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? Isaiah 46, verse 5. Who is Jehovah? Jehovah is the infinite, pure, holy God. He who cannot look upon sin. He's that covenant-keeping, faithful Jehovah. Who is Jehovah? Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus Christ is the express image of God. Jesus is the invisible being made visible. He came in the flesh. And all those who worship and follow him, who are they? They're not trusting in their own righteousnesses anymore. It's all become filthy rags. But they begin to trust in him, in the Lord, our righteousness. This world cannot satisfy their heart anymore. They've tried in the past. They tried to drink of all the pleasures of the world, but it's all empty and it becomes all sin and wickedness. Their heart has been conquered, won over by God's grace to serve Jehovah. And they're drawn by grace to the Almighty God, and they have a relationship with him through the power of the Spirit through Jesus Christ. My friend, who are you following? Who are you serving? Are you serving the only true God, or are you serving Baal? Who's Baal? Baal is the god of productivity and fertility. Baal religion is the version which pleases the flesh. Gluttony, materialism, sexuality. Baal is the god of all earthly desires and comforts and flesh. And Baal is worshipped today, yes, in Canada. And Baal is worshipped also here in Cortland. But what about you, my friend? Are you still worshipping Baalim? Maybe you say, Pastor, I don't have a statue. I don't have any idol in my house. Baalim, I don't serve Baalim. my friend, anyone, and everyone who only lives for themselves, for their lust, for their pleasure, and not serving God, is worshiping Baal. Modern day Baal's worship is done by rich and poor. It's done by people in the world and also by people that come to church. My friend, are you worshiping Balaam? Are you trying to fill your heart with the world? Are you trying to find satisfaction in your life and in your heart without a relationship, a restored relationship with God through the only mediator, Jesus Christ, by the work of the Spirit? Are you halting between two opinions? Yes, I know the truth, but the world, oh, I'd like to have the world, more of the world. Are you halting between two opinions? Yes, God is God, but oh, my heart, it loves the world. I'm going to serve self. Do you try to give both a little piece of your heart, a little piece to God, but the rest for myself to please my desires? Elijah, the servant of God, could say, I desire to serve God with my whole heart. But many of the Israelites, that large group, you see them, they're silent. They don't say a word. Elijah holds before them, how long halt you between two opinions? If Jehovah is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. And they're silent. They don't answer. Why? Why don't they answer? Why don't they say, Elijah, Jehovah is God. He made us. He created us. We want to serve him. They don't answer. Why? They're double-minded. They're double-minded. Because in reality, in their hearts, they know they're trying to serve both, which is impossible. They want to serve God and their lusts. And Elijah says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, serve him. But if Baal, then follow him. Who are the Israelites' congregation? A very blessed people. God separated them. God showered a multitude of blessings upon them. He dwelt among them with his presence. He gave them the law. He gave them the gospel. He separated. He chose them. They're their chosen people. A very blessed people. They're a people that God wonderfully and powerfully delivered from the bondage of Egypt. Led them through the wilderness. Gave them food every day. Gave them water. Gave them manna. And brought them into the land of Canaan that flows with milk and honey. And he said, and I say to my own words, serve me. Serve me with thy whole heart. Don't turn your hearts to idols. But they did. They did. A people who God had richly, richly blessed. But what about us? Who are we? We're like the Israelites' congregation. We're blessed as the Israelites. The Lord has poured blessing upon blessing upon us. Go for a little travel to the different parts of the world. We're so richly blessed. No, I'm not talking about temporal things. I'm talking about the means of grace. How many people can come to church every day to hear the precious preaching of the gospel? God, in his goodness and mercy, has separated us from the world. He's put even his name on your forehead. And he says, I have no pleasure in your death, but serve me, do not serve the world. Why did Elijah say to the Israelites, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal, then follow him. Because most of those Israelites, a large part of them, were double-minded, undecided, not convinced with their whole heart and mind and will and being to serve the only true God of heaven and of earth. And possibly they go to the feast days, serving God. But other times, maybe they don't go to the real idol worship sacrifices, but they're serving the world, serving their flesh. They're serving with their mouth and not with the heart. They're double-minded. How do we know this is certainly true? Because how did they respond? And the people answered him not a word. They were silent. This proves what was in their heart. Remember when Joshua, many, many years earlier, said to the people, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve." The people immediately answered, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." But now you and me, we can look at the Israelites and say foolish, but it's about you and me this morning. How would you describe a person today sitting in church that's halting between two opinions, a double-minded good and our C. Cortland member? This is someone who's not ignorant of the truth. Congregation, you're not ignorant of the truth. You know the truth here, yes. And I hope and pray it comes here. It's a person who goes to church most times. It's a person who regularly reads his Bible many times. It's a person who prays regularly, but not always. It's a person who knows about God, who knows about sin, who knows about grace, who knows about the truth. He can even say, explain those 5 points of Calvinism. He knows he needs the work of the Holy Spirit. He knows he needs God's saving grace. He knows that in his head, he needs a Savior. He knows a lot. Blessed. But his heart is still hard, dead, not renewed, not committed. His heart is still in the world. Comes to church, but he still hungers and thirsts for the things of the world. He's not devoted with his whole being to follow and to serve God. And he's not comfortable to live like an atheist, because then his conscience would prick him. He knows better than that. So he quiets his conscience to come to church regularly. It's good. He's religious to satisfy his conscience. And therefore he gives a little part to God. But the rest to the world. And God sees it, my friends. Yes, it's with love I want to bring this message to you. For your never dying soul. God sees it. He sees your heart. He sees those double-minded hearts. Who is a double-minded person? A church member, but not living as a regenerated, committed member to the church of Jesus Christ. He's a hearer, but not a doer. He's like the foolish virgin. He's not a wise virgin. My friend, may I ask you a question? Who are you following? Who are you serving? Are you still serving Baal? Or by God's grace, yes, by his grace and alone, do you long? Do you long to serve the Lord? Do you long to serve Jesus Christ? Or are you still following, serving Satan? We are all either one or the other. We're either following the Lord by grace, or we are still, as our guilt is, following Satan. Everyone in this whole world can be divided into two groups. Also this morning, we could be divided into two groups. My friend, you are either a follower by God's grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and God Jehovah, or a follower of Satan. Who are the followers of Jehovah? They're like Elijah. They should be living as Elijah, with a heart committed. They hunger and thirst for God. They live and long for holiness. They love the commandments. They hate sin. They are those who love God, who long to serve him, and his house is their delight. They long for the Lord's day to be under the preaching of the word and of the gospel. And they long to live for the glory of God. And they follow him. They take up their crosses. And sometimes, yes, even in their hearts, they want to throw those crosses away. But they rather have the cross than miss the favor of God, because in his favor is life, it's everything. And yet, that group, two groups, right? Followers of Jehovah and followers of Baal. Those followers of Baal can be divided in different groups. For example, those prophets of Baal, They gave their whole heart to Baal, to serving him, worshiping. Today, what would we call them? Maybe we'd call them those who call themselves atheists. No thoughts for God. Yes, they say that. They don't really believe it. They deny God. No thought for a soul. No thought of a creator. And they think that when they die, or they wish to think that when they die, they'll just die like a dog and its end. And they say in their heart, there is no God. I hope and pray this morning that there's none like those here. And if you are, I beg, listen. And when we see the evidence, that your heart may be renewed, and that you may see that Jehovah, He is God. But there's another group on that side, the double-minded ones. Are they better? Congregation, do you feel better than those who maybe you pass and never go to church? Do you feel better than them? Do you feel better than those who we would say they're atheists? Do you feel better? Are we better? We're not better. Not at all. Actually, we're worse. We're worse because they sin in ignorance, but we sin against better knowledge. We sin with all those blessings of God poured upon us. And both of these two groups on this side, they both, if they do not repent, if they're not born again and don't confess their sin and seek life in that only Savior and do not become committed by God's grace to serving God, both will end in the same place. Both will end in the same place. Who are the double-minded? At Mount Carmel, they're the biggest group. The Israelites, they had knowledge about the law and gospel, but they were not committed to following God. Their hearts were divided between God and the world. My friend, may I ask you, with all the love of my heart, is this you still? Be honest. Is this still you? And yet, Jehovah, on this first day of this new year, in his abundant mercy and grace, asks you a question. He has a question that you need to search your heart. He knows your heart, but he wants to show you your heart. How long halt ye between two opinions? If Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And my friends, Satan is just completely happy if you serve God a little, but the rest for the world. Why? Because he knows he has you. Because a double-minded, a double heart with two opinions is not serving God. And God wants, he desires, and he has the right to your whole heart. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 24? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Dear friends, if you do not serve God with your whole heart, you are not serving him at all. If you're a double-minded person, you are not a Christian. God doesn't want a peace. No, God created you and me that we would give our whole heart, our whole being. The Lord Jesus Christ wants your whole heart. And he says in Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart. He doesn't say, just give me a little piece of your mind. Just give me a little peace in your heart, a little place in your life. No, give me thine heart. We can give a little part of our heart to God. But then we are not giving anything in reality. We are still serving the world. The Israelites are silent. They're silent. Are you still silent responding to the question? Do you need evidence? They're silent. They're waiting for the evidence. What foolishness, what guilt, what wickedness. Those Israelites should have said, Jehovah, he is God. Are you still not convinced? Do you need to be convinced in your heart? Listen, we will go and consider the second thought, the evidence. But let us first sing Psalter 123, verse 1. Psalter 123, verse 1. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hand spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within. Rise, help, and redeem us, thy mercy we trust. Rise, help, and redeem us, thy mercy we trust. Psalter 123, stanzas 1. Heart-searching question, who will you follow as God? Congregation, who is God? Who is God in your life? Are you still God? Are you still under the power and serving Satan? Or is God, the God, Jehovah, the Almighty God, God in your life? There's evidence that there's only one true God. The Israelites were silent. Silent to Elijah. And Elijah responds. He will set before them. There will be a test of who is God. They will see by this test, by the evidence through this test of who God is. My congregation, my dear friends, this history is also for you and me to show us the evidence of who the only true God is, and that He, and He only, is worthy to be served, to be worshipped, to be followed. And so Elijah sets before the people a proposal, a test, that will give evidence of who is God, Jehovah or Baal. There'll be two sacrifices on two different altars, one for Jehovah and one for Baal. And they were to prepare everything, but no fire. Don't light the sacrifice with fire. And then they would pray. And the God that would answer with fire would be the God. That would be the evidence. And Baal is a God of fire, they believed. So is he God? Or is Jehovah God? Who will give fire? And then the Israelites answer in verse 24. They just say, It is well spoken. Actually, it's one word. Good. Okay. That's what it is. It's not like, just simple. Okay, good. They didn't say, Elijah, no, this is not necessary. We're convinced already. We repent. They should have. That should be already your answer, congregation. We don't need evidence. We know it. We confess our wickedness, our sin. But they're quiet. Okay, good. We'll wait and see. That's what it is. What a response. Is that in your heart? I hope not. And so the preparations begin. Begin for the evidence of who is God. First, it's Baal's turn. Baal's turn. Imagine the priests preparing that sacrifice, killing that animal, getting the wood, preparing the altar, putting that animal on the altar. And then they begin to pray to Baal. Open your Bibles, please. Psalm 135. They begin to pray to an idol. They begin to pray that something we would say is foolishness. Children, does an idol have ears that hear? Does an idol have power that can help? Is there hope praying to an idol? What do we read in Psalm 135, verse 15 and 18? The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. And the prophets of Baal begin to pray to Baal. Maybe for a couple hours. No response. Of course not. But no response. Then they begin to jump on the altar. Baal does not answer, and then Elijah speaks to them as we read in verse 27. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. Is that a god? That's not a god. And then they begin with intensity. What a sad, sad, wicked sight. They begin to cut each other with blood to move that god of fire, but the dead gods. And they continue to noon, possibly crying and praying with intensity, with all their different efforts, for 6 hours. But no answer. No fire. Not a word. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. Baal fails. Baal is not God, teenagers. The world is not God. You see the emptiness? You see the wickedness? You see the foolishness of trying to serve the world when God made you to serve Him? What wickedness? There's no hope. There's no hope. There's no joy. There's no peace. It's nothing. Nothing in serving the world. A little pleasures now, but eternal wrath, and under God's wrath, failure, nothing. And my friends, you can achieve much in this world. And yes, we must use our gifts. We must use our talents faithfully. But if you are not following God, if you are not following Jesus Christ with your whole heart, you will perish eternally. A heart searching question. Who are you following? Who will you follow in 2025? The evidence. Baal is not God. This world is not God. It's emptiness. It only leads to death. I hope you see it. Look in the Bible. Hear what happened to these Israelites. They saw it. Are you still not convinced in your heart? The Israelites witnessed the entire procedure, and they're still silent. Still silent. Are you still silent? Still silent? They should have said again, we see it. No need to go any farther. They should have already gone on their knees and confessed their sin and said, the Lord, He is God. but they're still silent. What wickedness, what foolishness, what evil. But now it's Elijah's turn. No, it's not Elijah's turn. It's got nothing to do with Elijah. He's just a little instrument. It's about God. It's about Jehovah. It's his time. Now he will speak. Now they will see before their very eyes that Jehovah is God. And so his servant, the son of man, Elijah, he builds an altar on Mount Carmel. And he takes 12 stones. Every stone is to remind those 12 tribes of what God has done for them. That God has made a covenant with each and every single one of them. That he has cared for them. Every single stone and every Israelite to see with every stone. Benjamin, Judah, and all those tribes. Jehovah made a covenant with us. And we broke it by serving idols. And once that altar is made, what does Elijah do? Children, young people, what does he do? He makes a big trench around that altar. And then what does he do? Do some of you go camping? And your father or mother say, please, son, daughter, could you make a campfire? Do you go and look for wet wood? And then you make that little fire, that little campfire with wet wood, and then you get a bucket of water and you pour it, 4 buckets of water on the campfire. You would never do that. That's foolishness. I think your parents would say, stop, son. We can't light this fire. But what does Elijah do? What does the servant of God do? He asks them to bring 4 barrels of water. And he asks them to do this 3 times, to pour it over that sacrifice. And the whole sacrifice is soaked and saturated with water, and the trench is full. Why did Elijah do this? Why do you think he did this? Why? Elijah has faith in the Almighty Jehovah, and he longs. He longs for that his fellow travelers to eternity would see it, and that they would know. No, there was no tricks. It was absolutely impossible that there would ever be a fire and that this sacrifice would burn. He wants them to see. He wants them to be convinced in their whole being, Jehovah, he is God. He loves Jehovah, but he loves that people. He loves them. He wants them to stop being double-minded. He wants them to be convinced. He loves their soul, and he longs for them to see it. I long, congregation, for each and every one of you to see it today, and that you be convinced in your whole heart, and that this new day on this new year would be a new beginning by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you would go home and say, the Lord, he is God. I've been such a fool. I've been so wicked. Yes, I come to church, but I'm double-minded. And then what did he do? He prayed. He simply prayed. Elijah, the servant of God, he opened his sinful mouth and he spoke to Jehovah. Let's read that prayer together for a moment. He's 36 and 37. 1 Kings 18, 36 and 37. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. How would you summarize this prayer? How would you summarize it? He prayed for one desire, for the glory of Jehovah to be displayed. He simply, if I summarize, show these people thy glory. Show thy glory. He prays. What does he do then? Is he like those prophets? He starts jumping. No, he doesn't. He doesn't at all. He closes his mouth. And immediately, and then we read in the verse, then, spontaneous, without a moment, what happened, children? What happened? Fire from heaven just consumed everything. The altar, the stones, the water, fire, all gone in an instant. What a majestic moment. What glory. What evidence for you and me also this morning that Jehovah, He is God. He is worthy to be served. He is worthy to be served with our whole heart, with our whole being, not just part, everything. Baal didn't answer because he's not God. He's nothing. But God, Jehovah, answers immediately because He is God. He is Jehovah. The evidence is clear. Israelites, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal, then follow Him. When was this sacrifice? We read at the evening sacrifice. What happened hundreds of years later to display a higher degree of the glory of God on a different mount? What happened? What mount must we go to? Mount Golgotha. Because there on Mount Golgotha, God, Jehovah, displayed His glory in a majestic, profound way, more glorious than this. Yes. What happened on that mount? There wasn't a bullock. No bullock. There was His Son, Jesus Christ. And God, I could say it, His fire of His wrath fell upon His own dear beloved Son, and His Son was consumed under the wrath of God. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ in His high priestly prayer before He went to the cross? What was His prayer? How would you sum it up? That Thy glory, Father in heaven, may be displayed. How is God's glory displayed, especially through the cross? Because there through the cross you see the glory of His attributes, of His infinite justice, but also of His infinite mercy and love and grace, His infinite wrath against sin, that His own Son had to die, but His infinite love, that through the death of His Son there's grace and mercy and forgiveness for sinners. The Israelites saw before their own eyes the fire, the majestic display to Jehovah, He is God. Have you seen it, my friend? Have you seen it by the eye of faith through the Word? Have you seen it through this history? But have you also seen it through the cross? Through the cross of Christ, the glory of God, the glory of His attributes, of His justice, but also of His mercy. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal, follow Him. My friend, I asked you this question. No, I don't ask you. Really, it's the Lord asking you this question. Who will you follow? Who are you following? What's the response of the Israelites? We go to our last thought. A confession. How do the people respond now? It's beautiful. It's good. In verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." The congregation, it's your turn. It's my turn. What's your response? What's your response? Do you still believe that Baal is worthy to be served? Do you? Or are you convinced? And do you cry and sigh, "Lord, unite my heart to fear Thy name. This heart is so wicked. I can never serve Thee of myself." But I heard, I saw a little glimpse maybe through the Word that Thou art God. Lord, draw me. Draw me with those cords of love. Then I will run after Thee. Confess your sin and beg Him for His grace. Elijah asked the Israelites. And you and I are being asked this morning on this first day of this new year. What is your answer? Who are you? Who do you desire to follow in this new year? Is Elijah free will? Elijah, how can you ask this of dead sinners? Elijah, do you think that they can just flick a switch and they'll make a choice? No, Elijah's not free will. Not at all. What's his purpose? What's God's purpose with placing this question before their hearts? What's the purpose this morning, congregation? Elijah must show them their sin. He wants to hold them before the glory of God that they would be convinced of their sin. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. That's my longing, that double-hearted ones would be convinced of their sins and that God's people may echo again in their heart with their whole being, the Lord, He is God. You're going to return home soon. How? How are you going to return home? Silent? That's not an option, congregation. It's not an option. The Lord wants an answer. He demands an answer to his question. You need to answer. Be honest. Maybe you don't want to answer. You need to answer. Tell him. He knows what your heart is, but tell him. Confess it. Go on your knees. I hope you're convinced and convicted that your heart is broken by that arrow of God's justice and that you're wounded, that you die, that you become guilty, that you become a sinner. That's good. It's good. Then this new year would begin so new, so different, so in such a right way that we come guilty at the feet of the Almighty God. My friend, the Almighty God who is Jehovah and none else, who cannot look on sin, who's so pure and holy, He has provided everything for wretched, wicked sinners, also double-minded sinners through His Son, Jesus Christ. He took all the sins of all His people upon Him, also double-minded ones. I may tell you this morning, on the first day of this new year, there's much space at the feet of the precious Savior that you may come and you bring all your sin, all your guilt, and lay it all before Him and beg Him to cleanse you. Beg Him to make you pure. Beg Him to make you holy. Beg Him to forgive you. Beg Him to make you to serve Him with your whole heart. The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. There's only one right confession for the glory of God and for the comfort of our souls. There's no other option. Any other option, including silence, is guilt, is sin. My friend, what is your confession? Have you confessed? Have you confessed by God's grace? Then there's also a command. Elijah gave these people that made a confession a command. What was it? That's the end of the part we read. Now go and kill all the prophets Baal. Are you saying the pastor wants me to go and kill all false prophets in this world? No, that's not what I mean. Go and kill all sin. Did you hear it? Go and kill all sin in your life. Kill it. Put it to death. Fight with all your might against it. Because to make a confession, you cannot live in sin. It doesn't go together. A true confession that the Lord, He is God, then we must and we will desire to fight against all sin. Dear congregation, Jehovah has separated you in His mercy and His goodness. He's so abundantly unspeakable good to us, but what do we return to Him? You, who are still double-minded. Think about it. Think about it. What grief in the heart of God that He has poured so many blessings upon you, and you just give, try a little piece of your heart that grieves Him to the core. Children of God, you've seen it. You've seen it in your life by grace that He is God, that He is the only one, that He is the Almighty. Don't give your heart to anything else. What grief in God's heart that He sees His sheep, His dear ones, that He has given His own Son to die, to rescue them, to save them, to bring them forever to be with them. What grief in His heart when He sees His own dear children looking at the world, maybe pursuing things, what wickedness, what sinfulness. Oh, that our hearts may echo again. Children of God, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And so I lay this before your hearts on this new year, on this new day. And I pray the Lord powerfully, irresistibly bless it for His glory and for your eternal salvation. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, now at least that seed has been sown, and Lord, incapable to deliver it perfect, but also absolutely incapable to bring it into hearts where it needs to go. But Thou art that Almighty God. Work irresistibly with the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners may become sinners, that sinners may become guilty sinners, and that they may flee to Thee, confessing, repenting, and seeking everything in Thee. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, also for Thy dear people. May our hearts be united to fear Thy name, and that we may live closer to Thee, that we may fight against sin, that we may live, that the Lord, He is God. Forgive us all of all our many sins, Lord. Wash us in Thy all-atoning blood and cover us with Thy righteousness, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 242. Psalter 242, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Almighty God, Thy lofty throne has justice for its cornerstone, and shining bright before Thy face are truth and love and boundless grace. 242, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Thank you.
Dear Reverend Bulgers, on behalf of the consistory and congregation of Cortland, as we stand on the threshold of this new year, we may wish you the Lord's indispensable blessing as our own pastor and minister. It is a great privilege and a great wonder that the Lord has been pleased to send you amongst us. It has been only a few months, and yet I may say it has been with great pleasure, and I may believe with blessing, that you have been able to labor amongst us. And now when we stand at the beginning of this new year, we don't know what the year holds in for each and every one of us. We heard it in the past evening, not one was taken away. But who knows how many in this year? And then we often think that the pastor and the minister will always be there, and they all shall become old, but that is not true. But it is our wholehearted wish and prayer that the Lord would yet remember you, not only officially in the midst of the congregation, that he will help you from Sabbath to proclaim his word faithfully, death in Adam and life in the Lord Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, as we have heard it. But that he also may be pleased to bless you personally. That there may be times that we may hear also in the preaching that you may freely hand out of those things that you may personally taste of, but that you also may taste of the things that you handle, that we may see, that we may experience it, that the Lord is in your midst, along with your dear wife, Laura, and children and grandchildren, that he would remember you and give you a great place amongst us, not because of you, but for his great name's sake, as we heard it, that you may be as an Elijah amongst us. May it be with the Lord's blessing. This time we also always like to wish the Lord's indispensable blessing, the beginning of this new year, 2025, also to the whole congregation, all, whether member or visitor or who you may be, that makes no difference. We heard it this morning that we need to make that eternal and blessed change. And we cannot do that, congregation. We heard it. What may it become our prayer? Also, what we find in Psalm 90, where it says in verse 13, "Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants." And that at the beginning of this year, that it may be, "O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." And what will then be the fruit? We find it in the last verse of Psalm 90, verse 17. There it says, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us." Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. What does that mean, congregation? That we will all be successful in our businesses, in our farms? No. I hope that wasn't your thought. What are those beauties? What is it when the Lord establishes the work of our hands that is spoken of here? We find it in Psalm 27, verse 4, what David desired. But we also find it in Romans 1, where that Paul could testify of the Roman church, whose faith is testified of in the whole world. No, that's not then about the Roman, about the church there in Rome, but about that blessed work of the Lord. I hope. It's my prayer. It's my heart's desire. As Reverend Mulgers has also mentioned it, that we may see. And each and every one of you, we would not leave one behind. There's grace sufficient. Do not say, it's not for me. There's grace sufficient for the chiefest of sinners, each of us, whoever that we are. Also like to remember our organ players faithfully there for us each Sabbath, that also in that way the church service may go in an orderly way. May the Lord also bless your labors amongst us in that way. Custodian, your helpers, also in ushering the people, we also wish you the Lord's indispensable blessing. Your labors, you might say, well, we just keep the church clean. No. What did David say? Rather a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. May that be your experience. You may do that labor amongst us. We also think of our choir that has begun, a director, organ player, the board, all that you do, but also the choir. May the Lord also bless these efforts, that it may truly be for his honor and glory, that we would do it faithfully and with our best efforts, but not to be the choir, but that we would be a simple tool, a means in his hand also in that way. Think of the ladies' aid, the labor of love that happens. May it also please the Lord to grant his blessing. We think of our youth group, the two youth groups, the leaders, helpers out of the midst of the congregation. Again, labors of love to also bind our youth together. We hope and pray that it may all be used by the Lord. We think of those who help in all of the different ways. There's much labor of love that we have experienced as consistory, snow removal. I hope we don't forget anybody. If we do forget someone, it is not intentional, but we thank you all for it. It's all these ways that the church service, the church may be kept in an orderly way. May it all read down to his honor and glory, along with our brothers in the consistory. I hope and pray that it may continue as it has in this past year, that we may do the labors in love, united, shoulder to shoulder, for his honor and glory. And that we would never ever think, brothers, this is our church, this is our cause, because then we will be sure to fail. But may it always be our prayer, Lord, it's not our cause, it's thy cause, it's thy name, it's thy kingdom. We are little tools, but Lord, use us. Use us in thy kingdom. And so, congregation, I would like you to stand and would sing together from Psalter 417. verse 1 and 2. May it be with heart and with mouth. Send forth, O Lord, of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let the rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied with grace. Thou wilt provide. And the second verse, 1 and 2, 4:17, standing.
Thank you.
together. Thank you for your words. Congregation, now may you receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.